for the most entertaining talk anywhere. Stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real with 24 talk hours of commercial-free programming.
Like a homeless man trying to change his life. We do it so fresh, and we do what the fuck we want to do.
The Green Room is brought to you today by Amazon. Log on to SeanTGreen.com and click the Amazon link to support The Green Room today. And now, live from Sherman Oaks, California, the host of The Green Room, Sean Green.
All right, everyone, welcome to the program. We're doing it live here on LATalkRadio.com. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in the show. We have a very special program for you. Tonight is actually our NFL preview podcast. We have a guest coming or calling in later, ESPN's Chad Millman. You know him from his podcast, Behind the Bets. He's also on ESPN's Bill Simmons podcast frequently. He's also written a few books here that are pretty interesting, one of which is The Ones Who Hit the Hardest. He's also wrote Invincible, the Vince Papale story. He's also working on Baba Booey's book from the Howard Stern Show, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And make sure you check out SeanTGreen.com. I just recently updated the website. It's totally changed formats. I think everyone will, if you dig the show, you'll enjoy the new website, so make sure you check that out. Once again, feel free to give us a call. We're going to be talking NFL all show today. Feel free to give us a call, 323-203-0815, and that's the LegalZoom self-help hotline. The NFL is a registered trademark of the National Football League, and you know, you don't have to be a big corporation to register a trademark, Logan. I don't know if you know that, but you can be a small business owner, big business owner, sole proprietor. You just log on to LegalZoom.com. They can help you out with trademarks, patents, wills. You can log on and create legally binding documents within minutes. It's very simple, very easy. It's not a law firm. It's a self-help legal service. And besides saving all the money from not having to go to a lawyer, you can also save a little bit extra by entering green in the green room, green in the checkout box. I'd like to welcome my main man, my left-hand man, Logan Lysico. Logan, thanks for coming on the show.
What's up, Lodi?
Not much, man. So, real quick, any NFL predictions, Logan? I know you're not a big NFL guy, but that's kind of good.
Cowboys are going right to the Super Bowl and winning it all, period.
Logan's probably the only Cowboy fan I can stand. So, Logan, sit back, relax.
It's because I can't, I don't have comebacks if you make fun of the Cowboys. I don't have even trash to talk because I know nothing about
it. Well, the easy comeback would be they've won 4 Super Bowls. The Eagles have won none. With that, I'd like to welcome on local bookmaker, personal friend Ryan Kramer. Ryan, thanks for being on the show.
No problem, Sean.
All right, thanks. We actually got a call right now, so I'm gonna load him up. Caller, you're on the air. Yellow. Yeah, you're in the green room. Who is this?
It's Tom.
All right, Tom from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. You're calling in. So, all right, you're my dad, obviously. And, Dad, what do you think? Is this the Eagles' year? I know we've said that a lot. I know that's kind of our running.
I need to turn my radio down.
All right. We're not going to get into this again. The radio's...
I almost said it, Tom, before you did. But then I was like, I'm not going to perpetuate that joke. And then he went for it.
I'm not on the front porch, so go ahead.
All right. What's so, Dad,
question?
Dad, what's your take
what's
on the
question, caller?
What's your take on the Eagles this year?
All right, I got him going 11-5.
All right, and how far?
And winning the first playoff game.
Wow.
I think the G-men are going to go 6-10. Make sure you tell Ryan that.
Oh, nice, nice.
I think the cowgirls are going to be lucky to break 8-8.
Nope.
And I think the foreskins, they're the only ones I'm kind of worried about. They might be 10-6. They might slip in as a wild card. But
okay.
Then,
now, so, Dad, the big story this year.
Dad's probably going to throw up and lose the playoff game.
So, Dad, the big story this year, especially in the NFC East, is Donovan McNabb, our former hero, longtime quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, being traded in division to the Washington Redskins. Do you think that'll help them? Do you think that, you're predicting them to go 10-6. What do you think McNabb will do on the field this year?
Well, actually, I think McNabb's a good play-action passer. You know, if he doesn't get hurt, which he probably will, I think he'll be good for the Redskins, honestly. And I think he'll get them, you know, into the playoffs. But then, like he did for the Eagles for 10 years in a row, he's going to end up screwing up and, you know.
Well, you got that. You got that that fatalistic attitude that Philadelphia sports fans are known for. All right, Dad. So you got the Eagles going 11-5, getting knocked out after. So will they win one playoff game, you said?
Yeah. No, I think they're going to win the first one. And then they're liable to bump into, you know, somebody bigger and better. And I think Cobb's going to show his rookie colors. But I got him going pretty deep. So
I don't know. Right. Any other bold predictions for the NFL year?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah. All right, Dad. Well, thanks for calling in.
All right. Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right. That's my dad checking in. I got to be honest, pretty shocked. I can't remember going into a year where my dad did not predict the Eagles would win a Super Bowl. And that's, we've gone into a lot of seasons when the Eagles were pretty obvious that they weren't going to do well. You know, years where, let's see, you know, Rich Cote was the coach. Not a clear starter, a quarterback. My dad still had them pulling off a miraculous win for the Super Bowl. I have a feeling my dad, you know, he's doing the kind of lowered expectations, the reverse jinx. I still think he thinks they're going to go all the way to the Super Bowl. All right. So, Ryan, you want to start off with the NFC East?
Sure. Well, we already established that the Eagles are going 11. I was surprised they didn't go 14-2. That's usually the de facto. I really think they're going to go 16-0, but I got to throw a couple of losses in there.
Right. That's usually what my cousin will, or, you know, my uncles, that's what they'll predict, 14-2. Something, you know, because if you say 16-0, that's kind of crazy. You're kind of jinxing it. So, all right, let's look at the NFC East. We like to say is probably the toughest division in football. I really think this year, I don't see how this isn't the toughest division in football. The worst team last year, the Redskins, are 4-12. You know, they made a big move picking up Donovan McNabb and Mike Shanahan. I think they're going to be at least somewhat competitive compared to last year. They lost a lot of close games last year. I don't see how they don't go at least 7-9. How do you see the NFC East shaking out, Ryan?
Well, I think this Sunday night will be the telltale story. The Redskins, who were predicted to be the worst team, and the Dallas, who's going to be the best team by the predictions, they're playing, and it's only a 3-point spread, I think. So
3 points.
I mean, it wouldn't be shocking.
Well, so to clarify, Dallas is the 3-point favorite going into Washington. Traditionally, the home team will get 3 points. So basically what the bookmakers are saying is that on a neutral field, they think – Dallas is 6-point favorites over the Redskins. Dallas has a lot of questions coming into their season. They look pretty good last year, I have to admit, even though it pains me to admit that the Cowboys look pretty good. But, they've had a lot of O-line injuries. That's a big question going into the season. Do you think that's going to hold them back?
At the end of the day, Tony Romo is still Tony Romo, and he'll do what Tony Romo does, and that's lose when it matters.
Right. They kind of broke the jinx of winning one playoff game in how many they had gone.
I think 95 was the last time they had won a playoff game.
Right. And they broke the jinx by winning one playoff game against the Eagles, with the Eagles center Jamal Jackson being out with a blown out ACL. So I see the same kind of problems that they're going to have. That I don't know if they have what it takes to go deep in the playoffs. I'm not that excited about their running game.
Well, here's the thing, is they would be a really good team, but they're arrogant and they like to pass the ball. And Roy Williams is horrible. Dez Bryant's a rookie. Tony Romo's Tony Romo. So we have to circle back to that.
Yes, he doesn't strike you as a guy with a killer instinct. When you look at Tony Romo and you saw him with Jessica Simpson and stuff like that, it doesn't strike me as...
He's a pretty boy.
Exactly.
That's always my favorite point in the season, when Tony Romo's been sacked for the sixth time and they show him on the sideline with his face down. And like, typically they show his girlfriend in the stands and he's all sad.
Yeah, he doesn't have the look of a football player at all. Miles Austin is now dating Kim Kardashian. Their wide receiver, who last year had a really good year, I think partly was that some of it was people were still kind of looking at Roy Williams as being the number one. Miles Austin came in kind of under the radar, and he had a great year. And now, what kind of contract did he sign?
I don't have the numbers in front of me, Sean, but
it's all right.
I think he got about $50 million, I think, over 4 years or something absurd. I mean, for a guy who wasn't good enough to go to a real college. I think he went to Monmouth College in New Jersey, and Bill Parcells found him, and he had 1 year where he did anything, and now they're unloading.
Yeah, that was
the truck
last year. He didn't even play a full year.
So they've invested $100 million between Roy Williams and Miles Austin. That's
and maybe they have a number one combined there. The over-under on Dallas Cowboys wins for the season is 10.5 games. Ryan, how do you see this shaking out?
If I was a betting man, I would take that under.
You would take that under. Under 10.5 Cowboys.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I don't think you can take – I think every team in the NFC East is going to win right around 9 or 10 games.
Okay. Now, we were just talking about the Redskins. The Redskins, you know, obviously they're getting a lot of hype coming in because of the McNabb trade, and also – you know, they've made a couple other moves here. Washington, they're over-under for wins of the season, 7.5. What do you like there?
That's an over. And that's actually, it was a better line earlier. It actually opened at 7 and has moved since. That's you can almost lock that one up.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough for me to imagine a team in the NFC East going below 500, but it seems like one of these teams is bound to go 6-10 just because they're going to beat up on each other. The other two teams in the division, I'll let you analyze your own New York Football Giants, Ryan. Started off last year 6-2, and then something happened. And
I'll tell you what happened. Kenny Phillips got hurt. Their defense fell apart. Their defensive coordinator was a giant pussy. They fired him in the offseason. They hired
I know you're calling him a giant pussy because you don't like him because he lost the team and lost a lot of games for him, but what was he doing that you think was such a problem?
He wanted to call plays from the booth. He's a giant pussy.
The only other guy I know who wanted to call plays with the booth was Joe Paterno because he was 83 years old and broke his hip. So, yeah, I think that didn't win over the team when you're already conceding, like, all right, I want a better view from the press box. You got to be on the field, especially when you're coaching defense. We watch Hard Knocks. You watch Rex Ryan. With just that attitude and that swagger, you can't be calling defense from up in the play box.
Yeah, if anyone should be sitting down, it should be Rex Ryan and his 700-pound frame.
Oh my God, we were watching Hard Knocks, the season finale last night. Hard Knocks, you got to give it up to Hard Knocks because Hard Knocks is a reality show. It's really great. It's well shot, well produced, and if you're a football fan, you really enjoy it. But then also, it's great at luring chicks into football. It's because, oh, hey, look, it's a reality show. Follow all these guys' storylines. Next thing you know, chicks are into football. All right, so what do you see for the Giants this year?
If I was betting on them, I would take the over 8.5. I'm not terribly confident. I got to see their defense perform before I'll be overly confident, but I wouldn't be surprised. I'll give them the division at 10-6.
All right, very nice of you to give the.
Well, the key is they play the AFC South this year, which will cause the records of the NFC East to be a little deflated, because they'll have to play the Colts, Titans, and I guess the Texans might be good.
All right. So okay, now last team in the division, the NFC East, Philadelphia Eagles. How do you see my Philadelphia Eagles shaking out this year, Kramer?
After starting 1-3, Kevin Cobb is benched. They bring in the future and Michael Vick, and he leads them to a 9-7 record and a playoff berth, getting the wild card.
All right, sweet. I'll take the playoffs. I was talking to my buddy Zach back home, and I was describing to him that I think their biggest game early on. Obviously, they start off with a huge game in Philadelphia against the Green Bay Packers, who the media and everyone is really behind is going to be this, you know, this gangbusters team that's going to win the NFC. They have a really big game when October 3rd, fourth game of the week, Donovan McNabb comes back to Philly. If they're 0-3 going into that game, there's no way Kevin Cobb starts. There's no way. The town will revolt if they let an 0-3 quarterback start up against Donovan McNabb.
Well, if he does, it will be first quarter, and then D-cell batteries will give him a concussion, knock him out of the game.
Oh, man. Last year I went to an Eagles game, and, you know, you think, all right, that was Veterans Stadium. That was the old Eagles fan. Maybe things have changed a little bit in the nice, classy stadium. Nothing has changed. First off, part of it was my dad's fault, too. We were getting really drunk and ended up at halftime. My dad and my brother, my dad and my uncle started pushing each other, just joking around. Next thing you know, my dad took my uncle down, and they were wrestling on the floor of the stadium. Security rushed over looking to arrest both my dad and my uncle. I moved in and go, it's all right, they're brothers. And then the security just backed off and let them go. And, yeah, you're trying to enjoy the game. And look, I'm a fan of coarse language. I don't get freaked out by cursing. But these guys were just going off and kicking the back of the seats. And he goes, I don't give a F. I'm a season ticket holder. And just breaking the seats. It's like, yeah, why would you break the – who are you teaching a lesson there? The Eagles won that game and still – you could have started a fight with almost anyone in the stadium.
Now all these people know where you sit every single game, you asshole.
Yeah, I don't think the guy cared at all.
It's funny how more riots start after big wins than big losses. It's like...
Well, exactly. You look at when the Phillies won the World Series, they weren't rioting because they lost. They were rioting because, hey, we won a World Series. Why don't I climb on a light post and throw stuff off it? That's kind of the mentality. So, yeah, big question for the Eagles, obviously, is Kevin Cobb. How Kevin Cobb will do. And I got to be honest, I'm not totally sold on Cobb yet. I don't know how well Cobb's going to do. He played two games last season, looked pretty good in those two games, but that's two games. This is going to be his first full season. As an Eagles fan, I have my doubts. I started thinking, I don't know if I'm going to believe. I don't know if this year's the year. And then I read this article, Logan. Uh-oh. This is courtesy of Philly.com. It starts off with, his parents were Cobb's sternest coaches. I don't know if you know, but Kevin Cobb... his dad was a high school football coach, so kind of gives, he grew up around football. That comforts me right away. Stevensville, Texas. It was 1:30 a.m., and 17-year-old Kevin Cobb crept in from the cool November night into the modest one-floor home his parents rented here. Humble beginnings, I like that. Except for the hum of skeeters and critters coming from the acres of land that surrounded the rancher, it was silent. But as Cobb neared the living room, he heard the television and his mother crying. She was seated next to Cobb's father, and they were rewatching the football game their son had played only hours earlier. Stevensville lost at Powerhouse Burleson 17-13, and a Cobb-led drive to win had stalled at the one-yard line as time expired. Imagine that environment growing up in there. That's how you raise a winner. When your son messes up on the football field, you don't say, hey, it's okay, son. Sports aren't everything. Imagine that kind of pressure that if you don't win, you come home to a crying mom. I like that. That's the same kind of pressure that Tiger Woods' dad put on him. That's the same kind of pressure Michael Jackson's dad put on him. Okay? You lose, you're out of the family. You lose, you're personally disappointed me and your mother. We're not always going to love you. Not when you don't give 110%.
Sean just compared Kevin Cobb to Michael Jackson and who was the second guy?
Tiger Woods?
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan. Bold, pretty, similar parents, similar background, humble beginning, very strict parents. I threw for like 300 yards, Cobb said. I knew I could play better in the clutch, but as a young kid, you put those kinds of stats up and you feel okay about it. But Roy and Lionel Cobb didn't. Kevin was accustomed to his father's high standards, especially when I played under him junior year. My dad already had the game film in there, and my mom was crying, and I'm going, uh-oh, Cobb said. And my pops, he watched the whole game and he just chewed me out. He chewed me to smithereens. Kevin looked to his mother. Maybe I'll get some sympathy from Mom. Normally Switzerland in the family for some sign of support, but all he got was parental unity. My mom took his side on everything, Cobb said, and his last word before he went to bed was, you're not going to play college ball if you play like this ever again. I was like, wow, I don't think I slept that entire night.
That's the prose of that article.
That is those are the words of a winner, Logan. Those are the words of a warrior. Ryan, what do you think? Are you scared as a Giants fan hearing the kind of dedication and commitment that Kevin Cobb and Kevin Cobb's family had?
Yeah, Sean sent me that article earlier today, and I looked at it. He goes, interesting story. I was like, to who, you?
To me and all the diehard Cobb heads out there. All right, well, since we're talking about high school football and following your dreams, I felt... I'm not going to go, I had my own dreams of high school football that never worked out, although I gave 110% and left it on the field. And, who did I admire, Logan? Who in cinema and sports also had that same commitment to win and that same kind of, he wasn't oversized, just like me. He was kind of...
O.J. Simpson? Oh.
Yeah, so I was getting to O.J. Simpson, the
said,
undersized...
You said football and movies. I was like, must be O.J. I know he looks up to him.
I admire... Just, man. Admire Rudy, as many people have. I think everyone here has seen the movie. We all cried our eyes out when we watched that film, knowing that Rudy, just he wanted it so bad, and he worked so hard, and that dream came true. and everything about that film is great. Or so I thought. Till I was listening to the Dan Patrick Show, Dan Patrick Morning Show, syndicated radio show, and they had Joe Montana on. Interesting little piece of trivia. Joe Montana was actually on that Notre Dame team that had Rudy Rudiger on it. So Joe Montana was in the locker room when that happened, when the whole Rudy story came to be, and Dan Patrick ended up asking Joe Montana, how real was the movie Rudy?
Yeah, it was a movie, remember.
Right now I'm just like, no, Joe, why do you got to do this?
Not all that's true.
Well, what wasn't true?
I'm glad it's funny to you, Joe Montana. Oh, it's funny to you because you ended up winning 4 Super Bowls and became really good, but some of us live vicariously through Rudy, so...
Well, the crowd wasn't chanting. Nobody threw in their jerseys. You know, he did get in the game. Yeah. He got carried off the game. And really, we played. Back then, they tried to play someone at the end that everyone, all the seniors could get in at the last home game. So they tried, the schedule kind of was set that way. And
so it was already set up.
So it had nothing to do with Rudy. In the movie, it's like they only did that for Rudy. Because he begged so hard, and he wanted it so bad.
So he got in, he did get a sack.
And listen how condescending Joe Montana is. He did get a sack.
And the guys just carried him off, kind of playing around. I won't say it was a joke, but just playing around.
He's ready to bust up laughing. You're crushing poor Rudy's soul. So many people have been inspired by Rudy, and Joe Montana, you just have to crap on that point. You can't let a man be inspired.
I got to say, though, I got angry in the movie when he made that sack because that is the only play that they let him in on, and he makes a sack?
Yeah. How do you... What? Well, it's because I think the game was over. Time was expiring.
Yeah,
no one's looking.
The other team's B team probably as well.
Right, no one was looking for Rudiger to run an outside blitz on them.
Is he still alive? Do we know?
Yeah, Rudy... is he alive? This man... It's
Sean's stalking him, actually, so...
No. I bet Rudy's an asshole in real life. I'm going to go out on that ledge, because now he's just turned into Rudy, the cottage industry, where it's hey, come pay $20,000 to have Rudy do your corporate speaking event. Rudy, you're a sellout, man.
This week on TMZ, Rudy cold clocks Joe Montana in his Skecher shape-ups.
This story was on TMZ. This story about Rudy not being real was on TMZ. And Rudy seems like an angry guy. And as much mileage as he got off this movie, he seems like an angry guy. Joe Montana, you should watch your back, man. All right, Brian. Well, let's see. We got a couple minutes here, maybe like 10 minutes or so before Chad Millman calls in and we really start getting into it. But let's why don't we just do a quick rundown of the NFL. Let's just go through all the teams and the over-unders, then we can break down what we think of the specific team. First up, Arizona Cardinals. Their line for total wins for the season, 7.5. Arizona, the big story there is, of course, Matt Leinart getting cut. He seemed to be the heir apparent, but then they brought in journeyman Derek Anderson, and now he's taken over. Larry Fitzgerald's had some knee injuries. What do you think of the Arizona Cardinals this year?
Yeah, it was looking a lot worse when Leinart was still running the team. He looked pretty bad, but I take the under. They're gonna lose. That division's horrible, but they're just not gonna. I can't see them winning 8 games.
All right, so you like Arizona under? Yeah, I think I'm actually going to go Arizona over here, and not by a lot, but just because of what you talked about, the division. You got 2 games against Seattle, 2 games against St. Louis. I think Derek Anderson, while he's not great, he did play pretty well in Cleveland when he did have good receivers. So I think they're going to be maybe 8-8.
Also, backing your point up, the West divisions actually play each other. So 7 of the worst teams in football.
Yeah, so the NFC West is going to be playing the AFC West. Both are really shitty teams. So
throw in Oakland, Kansas City, and Denver in that mix, too.
All right, next up, Atlanta Falcons. Over-under wins at 8.5. Atlanta Falcons, they've been getting some sleeper talk here as potentially, you know, maybe this is Atlanta's year. What do you think, Ryan? They got Matt Ryan. He's had 2 years as a starter, looked very good rookie year, maybe a little sophomore slump, 3rd year. What do you think?
Lead pipe lock, Atlanta goes over 8.5.
Wow. Lead pipe lock, you heard it here first, people. And we're going to talk to Chad about this. I know Atlanta, early on, especially I think at 8 wins, people were piling on the money and they ended up having to shift the line. So it'll be interesting to see if it's still such a great buy. But yeah, you can't. The money has shifted so much that if you take the over, you're only getting 1-2 odds, or -260 right now it's looking, so even a little less than that. So, all right, so next up, Baltimore Ravens. Now, especially with TJ Husmanzada. They got Anquan Boldin. Same thing at quarterback. You got a starter coming in for this third year here. Over under 9.5 wins.
It's hard to take. That's got to be over too. I mean, you can't bet against Ray Lewis, and they might have a serious offense now. So.
Well, they said that. I think they have the same type of thing where not a super tough division, especially with Pittsburgh not having Ben Roethlisberger in the first four games. So yeah, I like. The only thing that's making me jump off the over here on this is Ed Reed. Ed Reed's going to be out for the first 6 weeks. And I think Pittsburgh, you know, Baltimore rather, they kind of have that same defense that Pittsburgh has in that they really rely on one guy to make a ton of plays. And I don't think Ray Lewis is quite as fast as he used to be. I think that could be trouble for them.
Well, the value is definitely in the under. I mean, you can get plus 160.
Yeah, so bad. I think plus 160, them winning nine games. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I think the division, they're going to win more than nine. All right, Buffalo Bills. This is 5.5 wins for the lowly Bills. If the over-under on that.
If this was 2.5, I'd take the under.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if the Bills win three games. There's no way the Bills are winning six games. Lock it up. Carolina Panthers, 7.5 wins. Now, they were 8-8 last year. Part of that was DeLome starting. Matt Moore comes in. He shows some promise. They got Jimmy Clausen, the big Notre Dame quarterback, backing him up. What do you think, Ryan? Over under 7.5.
This is tough. I mean, I would say they'll probably end up 7-9 or 8-8. So, I don't know. I'll flip a coin. I'll take the under.
All right. Scientific here. Chicago Bears, over under 7.5 wins. Cutler, does he have it? What's going on?
Love this over, actually.
Really?
Well, everyone seems to forget that they had a really good defense every year for the last, like, 7 years. Urlacher gets hurt. They lose some defensive backs. Now they go out. Urlacher's healthy. They grab Julius Peppers, arguably the best defensive player in the league.
That's a huge pickup for them.
They bring in Mike Martz and his offense, who, although he gets a bad rap in his first year on new teams, he improves their offense by a lot, typically.
Yeah, I can see that. I think they're going to have a trouble in the division. You got Green Bay, who is a pretty solid team. You got Minnesota, pretty solid there too. And Detroit, I think, what they win? Two games last year. I think they're definitely going to win five or six games this year. But, yeah, I'll take the Chicago Bears at 8-8. All right, so Cincinnati Bengals, over, under 8.5 wins. Their big pickup this year. You got Terrell Owens, Ocho Cinco. Does Carson Palmer still have it? He's getting kind of old.
I like the Bengals, but Carson Palmer sucks now. They got two old receivers, and they have a really, really tough schedule. They have the second toughest schedule in the league this year, by my calculations.
All right. Cleveland Browns, over under 5.5 wins.
Just for fun, I'd take the over on Cleveland and Joshua Cribbs. He's fun to watch.
I'll take it just because I think DeLome, as bad as he is, he's a step up from what they had last year. I think he's going to come in and just be okay. And I think also the fact that Eric Mangini's job is on the line, he's kind of changing his coaching style. He's easing up a little bit. I think he might win over the locker room, get him to 8-8. You also got Mike Holmgren in there doing the GMing, so I think that's a step up from Mangini doing everything. I like the over there at 5.5 games. Denver Broncos, 7.5 wins, definitely going under. I think all the injuries that they've had, it's going to hurt them. And, I mean, losing Marshall, I think, is big because he was probably their biggest threat offensively. What do you think, Ron?
Yeah, you can lock it up. Josh McDaniels is an asshole, too. It's fun to root against him.
They lost their biggest player on defense, Elmas Dumervil, for the season. Lock it up, under 7.5 wins for the Denver Broncos. Detroit Lions, 5.5 wins. I'm actually going to take the over here. I like them to win six games. I like Stafford. I think he's definitely improved. You got Sue on the defensive line. That guy is really going to shape their defense.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit possibly could have the offensive and defensive rookies of the year. That Javad Best, who is a highlight machine. Most people probably saw him getting flipped up in Berkeley in that Cal game where he landed on his head and had a concussion. But he could be this year's Chris Johnson. Sue, like Sean said, is an absolute beast. He's like Warren Sapp 10 years ago. So, yeah, definitely take the over.
Okay, Green Bay Packers, over, under 9.5 wins. I actually like the under here. I'm not as high on the Green Bay Packers as everyone else is. They seem to be the media's darling this year. I don't think they have the defense to do it.
Yeah, bold prediction. Aaron Rodgers gets a concussion in week 8. Holds the ball too much. Take the under. Good value there.
Houston Texans, over under 8.5 wins.
Oh, this one crushes me. I love the Texans, but this is one of the bets I've actually placed this year is Texans under. They're just, I don't know. They have a really good offense, but their defense is lackluster. They're missing their roided up linebacker, Brian Cushing.
Yeah, same. I couldn't agree more. Cushing out's going to hurt them, and same thing. I don't think they're going to make it to the next level. Indianapolis Colts, 10.5 wins, over under.
Over. Peyton Manning.
Just don't bet against Peyton Manning. The guy's the man. You're an idiot to bet against him. Jacksonville Jaguars, 7.5 wins.
It's tough because their schedule, they got the NFC East, and they got their own division. So I'd probably lean towards the under there.
Kansas City Chiefs, over under 6.5 wins.
Here's another. You can lock this one up, too. Kansas City goes at least, I'm going to even go 8-8 with Kansas City. They're going to surprise people. They're going to come out. They're going to beat San Diego week one on Monday Night Football.
Okay, Dolphins, 8.5 wins, over under.
Yeah, I don't know. Dolphins seem to be getting some undeserved hype. Both their running backs will get hurt at some point.
I think it's tough. With the Patriots and the Jets in there, I don't see them winning 9.
Take the under.
Minnesota Vikings, 9.5. I think that's under, too. I think Green Bay's going to... I don't know. I think it's going to be tough splitting between Green Bay and Chicago. I think that division is going to be closer than people think. I like the under there.
Yeah, I'd also take the under.
Patriots, 9.5. I think this is an over. I think Brady's going to be totally recovered from his ACL surgery. You got Wes Welker back. I like the over on this one.
Yeah, I'll take the under. I don't know. Their defense is going to be pretty bad, it looks like. We'll see.
Saints, over under, 10.5 wins.
It's hard to take the under here just because their division's pretty poor.
Yeah, I like the over there. Jets, 9.5 win. They're predicting the Super Bowl.
Yeah, 16-0, right?
Exactly.
In Rex we trust.
Oh, I like once they got Revis back, I like them to win 10 games. Mark Sanchez still scares me. I don't think they're going to make it to the Super Bowl. I don't think there's any way they win the AFC title game, but I like them to win 10 games.
Mark Sanchez was horrible last year, and they almost got to the Super Bowl.
Jets fans need to realize that they were 7-7, and they shouldn't have even made the playoffs because they basically got gifts those last two games because people were resting their starters. Oakland Raiders, over under 6.5.
Take the under. It's Oakland.
Pittsburgh Steelers, over under 8.5.
This is interesting. I it all depends on how good Dennis Dixon is, but... I don't know. Roethlisberger's out 4 weeks. I guess take the under.
Over under, San Diego Chargers, 10.5 wins. I think that's a half point high at least. I like San Diego at 9, maybe 10 wins. I don't like them anything over than that. Obviously, they do have a weak division. That's probably their only chance.
Yeah, they have a really easy schedule, but so it's hard to take the under, but I would take it just because I hate the Chargers.
All right, 49ers. NFC West, over under 8.5. I like them winning the NFC West, and I like them to get over 8.5 wins.
Yeah, this is another lock. I mean, there's no way they don't win 9-10 games.
Speaking of locks, Ryan, Seattle Seahawks, over under 7.5 wins. I don't see how you don't take the under here. This is a lead pipe lock. Pete Carroll's coming in. He's cleaning house. He doesn't even really seem to want to win this year, and they, you know, totally cleaning house. All right.
I agree.
All right, let's just get through these real quick. St. Louis Rams, over under 4.5.
Oh, man, way under.
Tampa Bay, over under 5.5.
Way under.
I like that, too. Tennessee Titans, over under 8.5.
Oh, I'm taking the over. They're running some college offense down there with Vince Young and Chris Johnson. They'll be fun to watch.
All right, well, let's see. We're dialing up Chad Millman. Hopefully get him on the line here. My mom just texted me. Can you talk about something other than football? It's like, Mom, it's the NFL special.
Hello.
Is this Chad?
It is.
Hey, Chad, thanks for coming on the Green Room, man. Appreciate it.
I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, well, you're in studio with my buddy Logan and the local bookie Ryan, so thanks for coming on the show.
How's it going?
Local bookie, I like it.
Yeah, exactly. If you're not familiar with Chad's work, he's the columnist for ESPN's Behind the Bet, also Behind the Bet's podcast, and the author of The Ones Who Hit the Hardest. So let's get into the week one action. Who did the Sharps like, Sharps being the gambling experts, and who did the public like week one in this game?
Well, the public's always going to like teams like the Cowboys, you know, especially now with all the controversy that's been going on in Washington. You're going to see a lot of action come in on the Cowboys come Saturday and Sunday. Right now, there's not a lot of public action at anything yet. All that usually happens you know, the last 48 to 24 hours before the game. As for the Sharps, there's been a lot of action on the Bengals. That line has moved quite a bit. There's been a lot of action on Tampa Bay versus Cleveland, and the Bengals are playing the Patriots, by the way. There's been a lot of action on Tampa Bay beating Cleveland. That line has moved 2 points from -1 to -3 in favor of Tampa. You got to remember also, week one is a strange week because these point spreads have been out there for more than 2 months at this point.
Right.
And so the Sharps have seen these numbers from the middle of summer, and they're able to get a read on them. So they were looking at Seattle -1 over San Francisco, you know, eight or 9 weeks ago, and saying, you know what, San Francisco is one of those teams that is going to be sharp. Alex Smith is playing in a system, the same system, for the first time in his career for the second straight year. I think that the Niners are going to be stronger, and I think the line is going to move in that direction. So they've been playing San Francisco since it was, you know, Seattle -1 for 9 weeks already. And that's a lot of these line moves, you know, right now, the Sharps are getting them at a very cheap price from a long time ago. And that's not going to happen over the course of the season. They're going to have to make their decisions quicker because they only have 7 days to get their answers in, not 7 weeks.
Right. They don't have all that time. Yeah, I really like that San Francisco, because especially you look at the moves that Pete Carroll's been making in Seattle, it doesn't seem he's looking to win this year at all. You look at getting rid of Hushmanzada, all the free agency moves they've made, or all the roster moves they made, it seems to just be, all right, let's hit the reset button and let's lock in for a rebuilding year, where San Francisco's coming from a totally different angle, where they've built up momentum under Singletary these past few years.
Seattle's starting a wide receiver that was too slow 3 years ago. I mean, that's amazing.
Now,
yeah, and you know, they've gotten rid of so many guys that were supposed to be keystones to that franchise, including the offensive line coach quitting this past week. So clearly, either Pete Carroll's a genius and has this team primed with all this new talent that he's cobbled together in the last 2 months, and they're going to make a great run for it, or he got to the team, realized he wanted to change everything that was in the cupboard, and it's going to be a very difficult year for the Seahawks.
Well, I think if Pete Carroll was a genius, he would have realized that Reggie Bush didn't get his money from legitimate sums when he was driving around in that tricked-out car. So I don't know.
Possibly.
Maybe he's great at playing dumb. All right, so now...
Yeah, he was so smart he decided not to pay attention.
He's diabolical. Now, I know you were talking about, on Bill Simmons' podcast, you were talking about how you signed up for the Hilton Super Contest. And for people who don't know, it's kind of like a legendary football handicapping contest. Describe the contest, and I know you pick 5 games a week. Do you know what the week one games you are supposed to pick?
Well, you can pick from the whole schedule. So I've got to through and think about the games that I like right now, and it's so frustrating because I know what the wise guys were getting these games at 7 weeks ago, and so now I'm seeing these spreads, and I'm thinking, wow, if I could have had Seattle – I could have had San Francisco +1 against Seattle, I'd be so much happier about going into the weekend than having to make the choices that I'm making now. But, yeah, the Hilton contest is one of the more high-end contests in Vegas. Throughout Vegas, most of the sports books have these season-long pick-up contests that anybody can enter. So, and they are priced from, it's a free entry to the Hilton, which is about $1,500. The M this year, the M Casino, is doing a $100,000 contest that I don't know how many guys have entered yet. But the Hilton has historically been the most high-end, most competitive, and having the biggest payouts, paying about $200,000 to the winner. So it's really like a World Series of Poker type handicapping contest.
So, Chad, they let you pick the 5 games. Not everyone's given the same 5 games?
Not everyone has to pick the same 5 games.
Oh, okay.
So you just have to pick. You pick 5 games from the slate of games that are, you know, from the 16 games that are played over the weekend. So if I could pick 5 games and Simmons could pick 5 different games, and the guy who's won it the past 2 years, Fezzik, he might pick 5 different games than the rest of us. So you don't know what else anyone's picking. You just want to go 5-0 for the weekend. And, you know, it costs $1,500 to buy in, the guy with the best record at the end of the year, the best cumulative record at the end of the year, wins, you know, $200,000, and then you got to be in the top think you gotta be in like the finish around 55-60% on the year in order to make a payout. That's the contest.
So who jumps out at you week one? As far as, have you decided on what five games you're gonna pick yet?
I haven't yet. I'm still thinking about it. I do like Tennessee a lot, even though it's they're 6.5-point favorites, almost a touchdown favorite against the Raiders. And the Raiders are one of those teams that a lot of guys have been talking about as being better. And they cite Jason Campbell as the reason. And I can't actually figure it out. So Tennessee is a team that I'm definitely thinking about. Cleveland is another game where a lot of wise guys are talking about Tampa Bay, liking the way Tampa Bay is rebuilding, liking the way that they're focused on their front seven on defense. I just feel like I saw Cleveland last year win its last four games. I saw Cleveland cover its last seven games. And I know Jake Delhomme sort of had these bad years with the Panthers, but I just feel like I like Mangini. I like his system. I like the way this team was playing for him last year. I personally think there's value in Cleveland. It could be way, way off.
Yeah, no, I kind of see eye to eye with that Cleveland pick, because you got Mangini fighting for his job. You have Holmgren taking over the GM spot, so that's kind of less for Mangini to be overwhelmed with. He can focus on game planning, stuff like that, which I think is probably a strong suit. And yeah, I like Delhomme. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but I think he's at least can run a team, I think, a lot better than what they had last year. Now, I'm a diehard Eagles fan. It seemed like there was I don't know what the line opened originally for the game, but now it's the Eagles are 3-point underdogs at home. I can't really remember that happening that frequently. What do you think has swung people so far on the Green Bay?
Oh, well, that's the only reason is that Green Bay has looked like world beaters all preseason. There hasn't been a team that has been discussed more and gotten more hype than Green Bay has during the preseason. And that's entirely what this line move is based on, is going from not really knowing what's happening and people having a lot of respect for Andy Reid and people respecting home field advantage for the Eagles, to Green Bay looking so good that they have no choice but to be playing that game. And the adjustments have been so great because wise guys were pounding that number when it was the Eagles actually were favored by 1 point. And so, you know, it went from one to pick, and then people kept playing it at a pick. And so it didn't take long for it to go to the key number of three, where they're going to settle on it for a while, and let's see what happens. I mean, I think the public, they may actually come in on the Packers because the Packers have looked so good, and everyone's been talking about Aaron Rodgers. And I think there's also people who are suspect of Kevin Cobb at this point. They're not sure what he is, and he wasn't lighting it up during the preseason.
He's a winner.
they're a little bit anxious about what he's going to deliver. And there's also a lot of other young guys on that team that are getting their first chance at starting. So I think the combination of those two factors is why that line has moved, and probably moved in the correct way, although I think three is a dangerous position. Personally, for me, I would pass on that game because I'm just not that comfortable betting against the Eagles at home with 3 points.
Now, you've been out in L.A. Las Vegas. You've covered the gambling scene. You've hung out with these kind of sharps, as you say. Have you seen anyone do something really irrational? You know, I think that's where the public kind of, or just in general, what separates an amateur gambler from a professional gambler, I think, is being able to take the emotion out of it. Have you seen a professional gambler kind of lose it and get emotional about a pick and maybe throw on 20 grand on a game just because he was angry that maybe that coach cost him last week? Have you ever seen stuff like that?
I've seen guys throw 20 grand on a game after they've lost 20 grand on a game, but I've never seen anybody lose their head and chase their bets. I think the reason guys are wise, the professional bettors are wise guys, and that they can last is because they know how to manage their bankroll. That's the most important thing in doing this for a living, is understanding that when you lose a bet, the bet's over. You can't get that money back. You have to maintain your discipline. You have to bet the right percentage of your bankroll on a game during the course of the weekend and live to bet another day. So, you know, guys have biases for sure, and they incorporate that into their power rating when they're deciding on which games they want to bet or which games they want to pass. I mean, they're trying to think about wise guys. They don't bet every game. They don't feel compelled to bet every game. They bet when they see an opportunity. And so the reason they last is because they know when to leave their money in their pocket. So I've almost never seen a guy chase bets and get emotional about a game. I've seen them sort of pound the table if they lose a bet, if they have a bad beat.
Well, you haven't hung out with me. All right, so now you have a book coming out, The Ones Who Hit the Hardest. Take people what that book's all about.
So it's about the two greatest franchises in the NFL, by far, the two most popular, the Steelers and the Cowboys. And that popularity is built upon the rivalry they developed in the 1970s when they faced off in the two greatest Super Bowls of that era, in Super Bowl X and Super Bowl XIII. They were decided by a total of 8 points. Both were won by the Steelers. And the teams were really were perfect juxtapositions for each other. The Steelers were blue-collar. They were a team that perfectly represented the city in which they played. And the Cowboys, in the same respect, perfectly represented Dallas. They were shiny helmets, shiny pants, the stadium with a hole in the middle so God could watch. They were a team that was representing a city that was on the verge of becoming a wealthy, white-collar community, representing what everybody was sort of dreaming of becoming. And the Steelers were this physical blue-collar team in the middle of a town that, you know, the industry was in rapid descent, and people had nothing else to live for except for the Steelers. And so it's really about how the rivalry developed and the great games that were played and the characters who made these two teams into the pillars of the NFL that they are now.
That's exciting. Now, I know you're also working on another book. We'll talk radio here real quick. Did you know that you were played on Howard Stern's show today?
No, what happened?
Oh, well, last night you were on Scott Farrell, the sports guy's show on the Howard Stern Sirius channels, and this morning they were reviewing some of your interview with Scott Farrell. Mostly it was focused on Scott Farrell. Like, you guys were kind of getting into the Baba Booey book, and then Farrell started going off on these tangents, ranting and raving, like, hey, I've been in radio 27 years. Hey, why don't I have a book? No one cares about my... And what was that?
He was going nuts on that.
I imagine that's kind of awkward for you. You're sitting there trying to talk about this book, and then he's starting off with the interview of why no one in radio should have a book, and you're there wanting to talk about that. What was it like being on Farrell's show?
Oh, it was a blast. You know, I got in there. I showed up at about 9 o'clock, and I thought I was going to be on for about 10 minutes, and then I ended up in the studio till midnight. And I sat in on some of the interviews and that he was doing, and he just sort of kept saying, hey, can you hang out for a little while?
Hey, come on, Chad, hang out, man, come on. Hey, man, I got to just talk to this running back real quick. You're cool, man, right? You're going to party rage on Soured 101. It's my little Pharrell
impression. And so it was a blast, you know. He's such a good guy, and he was so much fun to hang out with, and he's so manic and has so much energy.
Perfect for talk radio.
Just keep going off on these tangents. You know, there were times where I thought he was going to literally jump out of the studio. And so... And, you know, he loves to talk gambling, and we talked a lot about the Steelers book, and then, you know, he wanted to get into Baba Booey, and so that was a lot of fun just to talk about the book and get excited about it. It comes out November 2nd, so there's starting to be a lot of anticipation for it. And, But, yeah, it was a blast. I mean, what did they play on Stern today? Because I was actually traveling all day. So
it was mostly them focusing on what Farrell was saying about the Baba Booey book. Are you prepared? You know, you're a well-known author, respected author. Are you prepared to have Howard Stern read excerpts of your book and just totally mock it for probably a couple months on end? Are you looking forward to that at all?
I'm so looking forward to it. The more he mocks it, the more we sell.
All right. Great attitude. Well, yeah. Thanks for coming into the program, Chad.
Sean, real quick, I got to ask one question. Back when you did that piece with Phil Ivey a year or two ago where you followed him around for a couple days, how intense was that when you were rolling the dice for him when he had, like, $500,000 on the table, the craps table?
It was intense. It was, you know, I just didn't want to be mush. You know, like in gambling, when you're the guy who can't win, they call you mush. And there are guys who everybody knows are mush as soon as they walk in the room. And I had the feeling that she thought I was mush the whole time I was with him. I didn't want to be that guy. And so when I was that guy, I was just crushed, totally and completely crushed. And then we walked out, and he said to me, he goes, I knew you were mush the moment I met you.
That's not the feeling you want to have. Losing or being a part of a guy losing that much money. Well, Chad, thanks for calling into the program. Really appreciate it. But make sure to put some links to your books there on shantigreen.com or check out your website, chadmillman.com. Thanks again for your time, Chad.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, had to wrap that up. We got to wrap this program up. Ryan, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, Logan, you want to take us out with a haiku?
Let's do it. Ben Raplesberger. One more Cowboys Super Bowl. Rudy's an asshole.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening in the Green Room. We do it live here every Thursday night, 8 o'clock on LATalkRadio.com.
For listening to The Green Room, don't forget to check out shantigreen.com, click the iTunes link to subscribe today, and also visit documentarylabel.com.